Elaine Randolph, our stage manager. And with your permission, I'm going to record tonight's Q&A for a future Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. As I mentioned, the podcast is a beast which must be fed. And so you are going to be fed to the beast. Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's final Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast of 2009 from Madison, Wisconsin, number 160, post-show discussion. Who has some questions? Yeah, what was your question? Yes. How often do we change the script? We change it. Actually, this script about 18 months ago, 2 years ago, the original authors, the original members of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, Daniel Singer, Jess Winfield, and Adam Long. It was just Daniel and Jess revised the script. So technically, what you saw tonight was the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised. And so they kind of tightened it up. They kind of made the characters a little more consistent. They brought it up to the 21st century with the interwebs and everything else. But I think it was on, was it Friday night? Friday night, we revised it even further by putting in all the Twilight stuff. That was new. Yeah.
How much work does it take to get where you guys,
How much did we rehearse before we performed our shows? That's actually a different time length for different members of the company. I rehearsed it for 10 days before I opened in the West End. How much rehearsal did you have, Matt Rippey?
10 days.
10 days? Yeah. How much, McGorf, did you have?
I had less than that.
Yeah, you had less than that, yeah.
But I had seen the play and now, with a couple of these, you get the advantage of they sent me the DVD and the script,
yeah.
So I could work on a little bit by myself. But I think I had a week. I think like 5 days of rehearsals,
right. A week. Well, and also, we've all been acting since college, high school. I know high school in my case.
Infancy.
In Mick's case. And also in Mick's case, the Shakespeare Show was the first show that you learned of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, Matt Rippey, mm-hmm. And then you've gone on to learn other ones. But you had already knew books, you knew Hollywood, you knew America. So this was the fourth...
Bible.
And Bible. So this was the fifth show that you learned. So... That's where that
the first one takes the longest. I learned the book show. That took a couple of weeks of rehearsal for
right.
me. Yeah, yeah.
Right. But once you've learned one of the Reduced Shakespeare Company shows, it's then easier and quicker to learn the next shows because you've already learned the company style.
And we do something that was done in Shakespeare's day, which is memorize your lines before you show up. So first day of rehearsal, you really need to be off book because, as you can tell, there's so much physical buffoonery and slapstickery to learn that you really can't. There's no time to sit around calling lines. So we all have reached that point where, and we tell the actors who join the company, you know, we highly recommend you learn it and show up off book.
Yeah,
just save yourself the trouble and pain and falling over and.
Although in your case it didn't work with the falling over.
No, well, name the weather.
Yes. How come Adam Long left the company? Because he had been with the company for... Adam Long left the company in 2001, just as we released The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged on the DVD. And Adam has an English wife and two lovely English children, and he decided he wanted to stay home more with them. So he's living in England now, and he's doing a handful of things. He's continuing to shorten things. He's not reducing anything anymore. He's shortening things. Yeah, hat guy.
So where did you all get your start in?
Where did you get your start in theater, McGorf?
I guess the drama guy in high school. I did plays and all that stuff, and then went to college at NYU and studied acting there, theater.
But what plays?
What was the first time? I mean, I was in Hansel and Gretel in third grade, but.
And you were magnificent.
I was one of the brilliant 9-year-old Hansels. They raved reviews.
Yes, I was the definitive 11th grade Albert Peterson in Bye Bye Birdie. I think it started in high school for most of us, and I went on to college and thought I would go to law school, and then I went, no, that my father actually was in law school. I mean, had gone to law school, and he said, don't go to law school, you'll hate it. So, and he was certainly right.
First show I did was when I was 13. Did a musical called Runaways at the Country Playhouse Theater. And it was really just something someone had recommended to me because I was doing some drama at junior high. And they said, well, if you want something to do. I wasn't really into sports. And they had already taken to calling me a drama dork, I think,
One of the nicer things
they
called
me. That's one of the nicest thing they called me. And then so I just thought, well, there was a summer theater program at the Country Playhouse. And after that first show, after the first performance, I knew that was it. I was drawn in.
And for all of us, it was a combination of just doing show after show after show after show, but also training. Vocal training, physical training, going to theater programs. I think that's the ideal combination. You really, if you just have the training, I don't think that's enough. You've got to just go do shows. Mm. You've got to find some theater somewhere where you can do a play, whether you're in it or backstage or in the box office or wherever, you know.
That's very true. The best lessons I've learned have been on the stage and almost mostly with the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Yeah. Well, and there are a bunch of you guys are performers. The Young Shakespeare Players are here tonight. Is that all right? Okay, so that's awesome. So you guys are doing it already. So yes, lady next to the hat.
Number one, you're really cool because NYU's where I want to go. And number two, why would you guys diss Lady Capulet? That was my first part ever. That really hurt.
We did it specifically to hurt you.
You're a cool-hearted man.
I know. Yeah. YSP.
Was any of that improv at all, or was it all totally?
Was any of tonight's performance improvised?
Well, I can't remember specifically, but almost every night there are a few things that happen because, as we've always said, the audience is the fourth member of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, yeah. And yet the audience is different every night, so, you know, things happen. Almost every show, there's somebody, I mean, when you drag people on stage, people behave differently, you can't guarantee what they're going to do or say. So, I mean, there's always some sense of, okay, here we go, what's going to happen? Surprisingly little is improv, but then again, every town we go to, every new area we tour to, every new venue, we're always talking to whoever's like down the street at a restaurant or the guys backstage. We're always asking for local references, you know, saying what's going on in town, who can we diss? And like they told me, you know, I was like, tell me about the mayor. Surely the mayor is embarrassing or something. They was like, no, they generally pretty much like the mayor. I was like, well, then I'm gonna find something.
Right. and backstage tonight, they said there's this girl who played Lady Capulet, and you should totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They also, that's also another answer to that young lady's question before about how often we update the script. Yeah. I mean, in a way, we update it every town we play in, that House on the Rock reference, yeah, or whatever the local reference is all.
Yeah.
The Cheesehead,
yeah,
of course.
That doesn't work as well down in Austin, Texas.
Cheesehead in Miami, and it bombed. It was just not funny at all. But then... So those little references, which may seem like it's improv or off the cuff, are like moments within the script that we can plug in a local.
Well, and tonight was the first night that we had to deal with this wound on Rippy's face. So we didn't quite know how. We also had to deal with an incredibly handsy man in the front row. Who's, you know,
who has a grip like steel.
Yes, he does. Did you have your hand up over here in the tie? Yeah, no?
I'm in theater, and I was just wondering, like,
ooh, that's a great question. Which actors were our influences? Do you, I had a couple. Groucho Marx, Dick Van Dyke. I really wanted to be John Cleese, and then I found out that they already had one, and so that was a drag. What about you?
Well, in terms of work ethic and work output is Robert Duvall, because I just, that guy cannot step wrong. I mean, he's just always so good and honest, and And he has a work ethic that I think is amazing. He not only memorizes his own lines in a script, he memorizes everybody else's. And he once said in an interview that he does that because it's the only way he can find where his journey fits in with everyone else's, is to kind of understand all the journeys simultaneously. I'm like, dude, you're the kind of person I hated in school.
Talk about a drama dork. What about you, Mikor?
If I can, this is not a proper answer, but I've always been into groups, like studying comedy.
Ensembles. And
ensembles, thank you. Yeah. That's groups. Ensembles.
No, sorry.
Monosyllabic? No, monosyllabic?
Polysyllabic. Yes.
Like the old Saturday Night Live days and Second City and things of that nature.
Comedy teams.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Abbott and Costello, that stuff.
Cool. Well, yeah, and the Marx Brothers. Also, I mean, a big influence on the style of the RSC was Warner Brothers cartoons. Mm-hmm. Right before the show, we tweet. We have an account on Twitter that we're fairly active on, and right before the show, I said we were going to do.
Like
I know we said we were going to be doing a Q&A, and we will answer some Twitter questions as well. So we have 2,100 followers or something,
and we've got 2,100 questions. So I hope you guys have.
All right, I will. Yeah, and then so the first question we had was, have you ever had any hatred? This is from Cineball. Don't know what that means. But anyway, Cinemas, says, have you any hatred directed your way by fans that have been disappointed by a show?
Yeah. Lady Capulet.
Lady Capulet, yeah. She was kind of pissed. But like we get... Yeah, well, but we had a
kind
like
a love hate thing we got going here. Yeah.
Well, the concierge of our hotel came and saw the show, and he's just been raving about it since he saw the show. And he said he kind of asked the same question. He says, "Has anybody ever not liked the show?" And then he said, "Nah, you know what? Screw it. If somebody didn't like the show, I don't want to know that person." Went, okay, all right, fair enough.
Hi, I'm Broadway 06405.
Hi, I'm Kiwi.
Hi, I'm Rabbit Psycho.
We're at the Captain's Cabin Pub on an RSC pilgrimage.
And you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
What's our favorite 30-second portion of the complete works of Shakespeare?
I know mine is, and it was not good tonight. It was not my best tonight, but that last end of the first act when I'm all alone on stage, and I do actually sometimes improvise some stuff there to answer that improv question, but that's usually my favorite moment.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, for me, I think, well, it's probably not surprising, but it would be the What a Piece of Work is Man speech. And not just because it means I don't have to move around and do anything for at least 30 seconds, but also because it just, it's kind of a tradition that I just think about someone who, it means a lot to me. So, it's a nice 30 seconds for me.
Yeah. For me, it's the new to be or not to be Twilight breakdown. Because that's just so fun and just so stupid on so many levels.
Yes.
Yeah. Ma'am in the red. Oh, that in the second row.
Okay. My question is, I just saw in the program that you're here from December 3rd to 20th.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering how much, I don't know how often you perform during that time, but what do you do when you're on tour?
How do we survive on tour in a city for a long time? Is that your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's what do we do in Madison? Drink a lot of your fine beers.
Papa Light.
Yeah, we got snowed out. We had two shows canceled last week. The last Wednesday night, both the matinee and the evening show were canceled because of the blizzard.
Yes. So for a couple of days we studied the wallpaper in our rooms, but I know that we all have our own interests, and we do like to hang out. We do go for a beer or go for a pizza together, but we often we have our own interests. So we often, like, I love bookstores, and I can spend hours in bookstores. And Madison has a lot of great ones.
Yeah.
Mick has his own interests that involve games.
He plays cards.
I like to play poker.
Yeah, and he said, "You know, actually, this where's the question? I can't find it.
Do they know that underneath the balcony? Do they know what you're doing every night? Tell them what you do every night underneath the balcony.
Oh, when I'm, you mean not under that balcony. You mean when I'm playing Juliet's balcony?
I'm playing my balcony.
Well, yeah, usually when I'm on the balcony, I got my iPhone and I'm either checking my email or I'm tweeting or sometimes.
Sometimes he takes a picture
sometimes
of
I
my
take,
feet.
I take a picture.
And tweets it.
Yeah, I tweet it. So sort of mid-show, here's what I'm doing right now. Click. But we got it. We got another. We got another question off of the. This is actually from Facebook. Adam Long. This is funny. But it's L E O N G. I think it's pronounced Long. Anyway, he says, "What's your favorite kind of pie?" And I know Mick Orff has a solid answer to this. This is part of what do we do on tour?
Raspberry sour cream pie from the Norsky Nook here in Wisconsin.
So we check out pie places. Yes, Bim.
Yes, but if you're going to tour in Asia, how does Reduce Shakespeare or Reduce the Bible play in a culture in which maybe they don't know Shakespeare or the Bible?
Well, actually, they do. That's the thing. I mean, Shakespeare and the Bible are hugely global. That Bible, that's a pretty popular book. I think that book's got legs. I mean,
we were just in Hong Kong, and it played pretty well.
We were just in Hong Kong and Singapore, and so we're going to go back to Hong Kong and Singapore, and I think we're going to go to Macau and possibly Shanghai. The trick is getting an English-speaking audience, because really you need to understand English. But past that, and then we probably won't make a Cheesehead reference in Asia. But really, everybody's been taught Shakespeare badly, regardless of the culture. They've had it forced on, students have had Shakespeare forced on them by teachers who maybe aren't the best teachers in the world. And also, but to be fair to the teachers, Shakespeare was meant to be seen and heard and not read and not studied. So the teachers have their work, they've got an uphill battle just before they even start. So I think we satirize the way the Bible is often presented. Ours is a very affectionate but very irreverent celebration of the stories of the Bible. And we don't make fun of people's religions, although I think we make a Catholic joke, I think, at one point.
We made a couple tonight.
We made more than we meant to, in fact. Guy in the blue? Yeah?
Nice when you're killing it. You're really connecting with the audience. How soon do you know it?
How soon do we know when we're killing with the audience? Is that what your question?
Like when it's just rocking, it's going to roll, you're like, is it like within the first 5 minutes, this is going to be a great night?
Interesting. Well, there are different sort of the question was, how do we know when we're going to kill it with this crowd every night? Sometimes we don't really know until the second act. They're sussing us out and we're sussing them out.
There's a couple of litmus tests that will be like, oh, this is a good crowd. They got that joke. All right, we like them. But
right. Well, you've got a good one now about the pagers. There's a good joke with the pagers, and if we get a good response to pagers, they're lively. Oh, okay, that sounds good. But sometimes with the audience kind of doesn't know what to make of us.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to expect. And so they'll go out to the lobby at intermission, talk amongst themselves and go, I don't know, I kind of like it. I do too. Yes. Okay, very good. And then they come and then they come back in the second act relaxed, and everybody has sort of agreed.
That's what I was gonna say.
Okay, yeah. Red in the front row here.
And then you do this from December 3rd to the 20th here, and you do this all the other time. How can you keep it fresh for yourselves?
That's the job part of what we do. That's the craft of what we do. We need to make it look like it's fresh and alive. I mean, every actor has to do that. Every stage actor has to make it look fresh and alive every night. I think with what we do, it's a little easier because at least we're getting laughs.
And I think touring to different places keeps it fresh because we have to stay awake long enough, to remember the references or try new gags. And one thing I love about working with this company is that we never stop thinking, honing, tweaking. Even now, I mean, we've been doing this tour. We started back in Miami last year at this time. Mm-hmm. And even now, we are still sitting in the dressing room talking about moments, whether or not to drop a line, change a line, talking about tweaking. And that keeps it fresh because we never just sit back, I think, like a lot of other productions do, where it is what it is after opening night, and that's that. And then you can just let it play. But no,
So we got time for just a couple more questions. Here in the front row.
What's your favorite Shakespearean play?
What favorite Shakespeare play? Mine is Macbeth, because it's the shortest.
Yeah. I think mine would have to be Twelfth Night.
All right.
Yeah.
Henry V?
Yeah.
Do you ever write, condense a work without first reading all of it?
Do we ever? I'm so flattered that you think we do read everything that we do. I think between the three of us, we've heard of all of Shakespeare's plays. Yes, because very often you can get to the gist of something without reading the whole thing. But when we're writing a new show, I love to do way more research than is necessary because that's fun for me. I like to know more things because then the more you know, the more you can make fun of, you know? Another question from Twitter. What's the most absurd accent you've been required to do?
American.
Welsh.
I think it's the absurd, it's Scottish for me. It's
right.
My authentic Scottish accent. One more question? Yeah, yes, sir, right here.
Is this someday going to be licensed for perhaps high school productions? And if so, how long would it be by the time you sanitized it?
I don't know why you'd want to sanitize it. You wouldn't sanitize Shakespeare. Why would you sanitize this? Actually, this script is already available for license. All of the Reduced Shakespeare Company shows except for Hollywood are available for license, and Hollywood will be available in the fall of 2010. So they're all available. Broadway Play Publishing, you can find their contact info on our website. So thank you guys very much for coming out. Thank you. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your questions to be answered via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also find us on MySpace, become a subscriber to our YouTube channel, or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, agony aunt Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to our YouTube subscriber SavvyNickel07. No reason. It's just random. Special thanks to RSE fans Sarah Wilkinson, Liz Walbridge, and Rachel, also known as Rabbit Psycho, Broadway 06405, and Kiwi for their audio blurb, and the young Shakespeare players and the rest of the audience members from Madison, Wisconsin. Finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 160/480th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. You know, my favorite Twilight books are 3 and 4, because they're the ones I haven't read, and I'm not going to read them.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.